And welcome everybody to What's Wellness. I'm your host, Alia from Alia Yoga. And today's episode went live on Thursday, September 24th, which is the last Thursday in September. The month of September is known as Recovery Month. And for those of you who have struggled, are struggling, or know someone who is addicted to drugs and or alcohol, this episode is going to inspire you to continue moving towards recovery, putting one foot in front of the other. The story that my guest today shares is awe-inspiring, as she went from homeless, jobless, and addicted to substances to a business owner who is contributing to the community through inspiration, motivation to get healthy, and her amazing spin and fitness classes. Before I introduce Janine to you, I want to welcome you again to today's show and thank you so much for being here. You have been such a light in my life, whether I know you personally or not, because your support of this podcast has been absolutely incredible. I love the questions and feedback that I get from you and very much appreciate you for leaving a review and rating in the iTunes podcast app because that's helping me move in the direction of what you want to hear in future episodes based on what you like and what you want more of. If you haven't left a rating and review yet, it takes about 2 minutes and it's very helpful for the growth of the show. In fact, do other podcasters a favor as well and leave them ratings and reviews when you have a couple minutes to spare because it makes a huge difference for those putting their time and energy into creating audio content for those who tune in. I want to jump right into today's interview, but before we get started, I have wise words of the week for you. In fact, two quotes resonated with me for this week's episode. The first is the Serenity Prayer, which you may have heard before. It's associated with AA. However, I find that this prayer is one that I have repeated throughout my life despite not being addicted to substances because it helps with letting go of attachments and of wanting to control certain aspects that are outside of the realm of what is possible as a human, like knowing what the future holds or traffic. The Serenity Prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I especially love this prayer also with regards to attachments or expectations that I have placed on others that are either unreasonable or simply not met. It has been so easy for me to feel disappointed at times based on what I imagine is, quote, right versus wrong or good versus bad. But at the end of the day, I'm only responsible for myself. And by letting go and accepting that which I cannot change, I've noticed a huge increase in grace and ease and decrease in disappointment and suffering in my life. My other wise words of the week is a quote from Napoleon Bonaparte, who says, courage isn't having the strength to go on. It is going on when you don't have the strength. And this quote really speaks to what Janine went through getting sober and inspires me with my own healing and wellness journey, as there have been times when I have felt like the strength to go on started fading. And that's when my faith and inner determination has kept me moving forward. I'm so grateful for the challenging past that I have experienced because those challenges and hardships have shaped me into the strong and determined woman that I am today and has given me a heart to want to contribute positively and make an impact in the lives of others. After a very short break for a word from Anchor, I will introduce you to my guest today, Janine Coulter, the owner of Studio Cybrid in Encinitas, and I'll let her share her fascinating story from homeless to wellness. Be right back. Everybody, welcome Welcome back. You're listening to What's Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Alia, and I'm here today in studio with Janine. Not the studio that you probably picture in your mind. I'm here at Studio Cybrid, which is a hybrid cycle or spin studio that does other types of fitness-related classes in Encinitas. I'm so honored to be a part of the community and the team that teaches here. I teach 30-minute spin, 30-minute yoga, and I'm here with Janine, the owner of the studio. Yes, there's a siren going, if you heard that. It's all right, no big deal. Life happens. Hopefully everybody's okay. And yeah.
Aww, this is why we love Alia. I just would have been like, start over. Alia's like, I hope that people are good.
Yeah, I pause and like pray for a moment and just send them my thoughts. But yeah. Anyway, welcome, yes. Janine.
Thank you
so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Me too. I'm so excited. You have such an amazing story. You're such an inspirational human. I'm so proud to know you and know a part of what you've been through. And my first question is always, what's wellness look and feel like for you today?
So wellness for me is a combination of different things. Obviously, fitness is a huge part of my life and has been for a long time. I got certified to start teaching spin in 2008, I think, or 2007, and yoga at the same time. Picked up a bar certification a few years later, Pilates certification a few years later. So not just fitness, but teaching fitness. And I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but teaching fitness is a huge part of my wellness, not just necessarily working out. Like this morning, for example, I had the opportunity, the power was out all morning, and I had the opportunity when I came in to either take somebody else's class, I'll take one of the other girls' classes or another class online, or teach one to record. Mm. And I ended up actually teaching one instead because I truly enjoy teaching as much as taking other people's classes, if not more so.
I love that. That's amazing.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of arrogant because I only like my music. But that's not true. I don't only like my music. I like other people's music too, but like, I don't know. I love it. Do you feel that way at all?
I do. I can relate. I love teaching.
It's I do too.
Living my best life.
It is. Yeah. I know. And I'm so grateful for that right now. Depending on when you guys are listening to this podcast, we are in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic.
Right.
My studio has been closed for a little while. And it was challenging, obviously, to only have been open for 6 months. And then this happened. But one of the things that I am so grateful for, because I've wrestled with, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have even bought the studio. This was a huge mistake. We should have done this. But at the same time, if I didn't own the studio, I wouldn't have been able to choose my teaching. So like I taught at two other studios. I taught for the previous owners. And then I was teaching at another spin studio. Mm-hmm. And the previous owners, you know, I don't know how they would have handled this. I think they would have done some online Facebook stuff, but it probably would have been mainly them. I don't know that we would have been teaching.
Totally.
And then at the other studio, I maybe would have gotten an on-demand class with them, maybe once a week. They maybe would have done that, but it was primarily their owners too.
Right.
And so I do try to tell myself, at least I am in charge of, I get to come in here. We own the space, so I get to come in here and work out still, teach, record classes. And I think that's really helped keep my sanity during this time and also keep me grateful and relatively able to handle the fact that we bought the studio and then the pandemic happened, because I'm grateful that I've got some control over that.
Yeah.
But so wellness to me right now is my teaching schedule. That's really keeping me going. And then I've gotten really into, and I didn't even really do this on purpose, but during the coronavirus, I realized later I did all these little challenges from day one and I didn't even mean to. So like the first week of the closure of quarantine, my trainers did this online nutrition challenge for 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I did that. The second month, I did a yoga challenge with this woman that I remember when I was doing that, with this woman that I mentored with in LA, mm-hmm. the second month, rather. The third month, I did a meditation challenge with Gabby Bernstein.
Awesome.
And then I've been doing all of these. I've gotten really into a daily routine during this time. So I've gotten really into, I listen to all these holistic podcasts. Uh-huh. So I take all these minerals in the morning.
Yeah.
I take ketone isotonic minerals in the morning, a hydrogen tablet in water, nitric acid to like push blood around.
Right.
And some other things. Calm Gen, it's like a holistic. So I, and then the CBD in the evenings, which I get from Alia, by the
way. I'm so glad you're really using like that.
It. Awesome. Yeah, we really like it. 0% THC, obviously. I'm on here as like the recovery person. So just for anybody that's listening, there's no THC in it at all.
That's right.
Obviously. But we really like that CBD. So daily routine, and then I do Wim Hof breathing and a 3-minute ice shower every
day. You're doing that every
day? Yes, every day. So I've got this whole gig going on. I've been doing it for like 7 weeks. So wake up. Oh, and this is my big thing that I've started doing quarantine, which I highly recommend. I do not look at my phone when I wake up until I get through the things that I'm talking about.
That's huge.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, I've learned during quarantine that the blue light in your phone increases cortisol levels.
Yes.
You might know that. That sounds like something you would know.
I do.
But I definitely didn't know that. And so I even went so far as, I mean, I've gotten like deep into the stuff during quarantine. I've got a red light filter on my phone that I turn on at night. And then, so it's on in the morning when I wake up. Uh-huh. And so the one thing I will do is I might use the phone to turn on a podcast. So I wake up, turn on a podcast. I'm really into the Skinny Confidential these days. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever listened to her.
Have.
She's great. Skinny Confidential or Deepak Chopra, something like inspirational, uplifting.
Right.
Drink my minerals, take all those vitamins, do the Wim Hof breathing. I go through a series of questions that Tony Robbins suggests that you do in the morning. Do you want me to list all the questions?
Do you know them?
I know them by heart. I made up a little acronym for them.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So it's 7 questions. This is extensive. I don't know if you knew I was going to be getting into all this stuff, but okay. So I step outside and I try to do some grounding work. So I know I look like a crazy person to my neighbors because I step outside with matcha barefoot and they're like jogging and stuff. And I've got my little notebook and glasses and I write down. So these are the 7 questions. So I write down what I am happy about in my life right now. Mm-hmm. What I'm excited about in my life right now, like today, and I try to keep it really current. Like, mm-hmm. I'm excited to record the podcast with Alia, actually, was my one today.
Aww.
What am I proud of in my life right now? Mm-hmm. What am I committed to in my life right now? What am I grateful for in my life right now? What do I enjoy? Who do I love? Who loves me?
Wow.
And so I go through that, and I just write a sentence every morning. You probably could do a little more work with that, but I'm typically, like, running late for the studio, so I just, like, scribble out a sentence. And the cool thing about this is, so your reticular activation system in your brain is designed, you know, if you buy a white Toyota, like I just bought the RAV, and you start seeing your car all over the road.
Absolutely.
Right. So your brain is designed to do that. Once you start paying attention to something and it becomes important to you, your brain starts picking it out more. So you can train your brain in the morning to start looking for these things throughout the day.
Powerful.
Right. And there have been times in quarantine when I've like really been struggling, which is why I've started to do this. I think that we all have.
Yeah.
So in an effort to alleviate some of that, I'm trying this out and writing these things down. And your brain starts to know, okay, she's going to ask me tomorrow, what am I happy about? I need to pick something to be happy about. So that's my general routine. I wake up, matcha, minerals, all that stuff. Step outside, do my grounding, write those questions, come back inside. The Wim Hof breathing is really quick. It's like 10 minutes, mm-hmm. 9-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. 3-minute ice shower.
Wow.
And then I typically come into the studio.
So this routine is drastically different from what your life was like.
Yes.
What, 5 years ago? 8?
So my sobriety date is January 15th, 2015. So I'll have 6 years in a few months. But this is drastically different. I'm getting chills while we talk. Drastically different from my routine, even January 14th. 2015. I mean, you know, for years. So I was an active alcoholic addict for 15 years. I was a heroin addict. So the last 5 years of my using, I was a heroin and meth addict. I was homeless or in jail for all of that time. I literally didn't have a driver's license. Like when I got sober this time, I didn't have even an ID. My mom was like, well, I can go with you to the Social Security office and maybe I can sign an affidavit and say I gave birth to her in Florida. Nay, we were like trying to figure out how we could identify me as a person.
Wow.
Because I was nowhere on the grid. Nowhere. I hadn't paid taxes. I hadn't used my Social Security number. In fact, when I applied even for one of those, like, you put money on it, credit cards,
uh-huh.
I got a letter in the mail and basically they assumed it was fraud because they were like, this Social Security number hasn't been used in years.
Unbelievable.
Who are you really?
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? There was no, I was nowhere.
Your story.
I was nowhere.
I've heard bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
And every time you share a little bit more with me, and thank you for sharing with me about your life and your history, I'm blown away from where you were, what you went through, who you were even. Yeah. But also I've always gotten this feeling, this understanding of like the truth of who you are today is the truth of who you were doing all of those things and experiencing that as an addict and homeless. You have this light inside of you that's very tangible, like your students and your staff see that in you, but you've been through it.
Yes. Well, I am this person because of those things. And that's my main message in life to other addicts. One of the reasons why it took me so long to get clean and sober is I was so ashamed of all of the things that I had done. And, you know, going to jail, being arrested, racking up this record, being a homeless person for so long. And you get to a point in your life where you, as an addict, where you feel like, why would I even try? Why would I even try? I, you know, I'm always going to be this person. And so my message to other addicts is, and this is like my passion in life in addition to teaching, is no, I'm so glad. I'm so grateful, because prior to my addiction, I wasn't a very happy person. Like if I'm really honest, if I go back to like high school and college before I was really using heavily, I was so ungrateful. All I ever thought about was what other people had. And I was kind of a train wreck also, just as a person. I was always late. Everything was an emergency. I couldn't get anything done. I couldn't take care of anything. And becoming a drug addict, you know, fully moving into addiction, and specifically heroin addiction, knocked all that out of me. And, you know, I always tell people, it's like, for example, so I have a podcast. I was interviewing my friend Tommy yesterday, and he bought zoo passes. And, you know, I'm obsessed with that little pygmy hippo that's at the San Diego Zoo. I post about it, like, on the studio. Not even my own personal page, but on the studio. Okay, so the pygmy, that's a great example. And Tommy and I were talking about this. He's also a heroin addict in recovery. That pygmy was always cute. That pygmy was cute 15 years ago. Pygmy hippos are adorable.
Right.
However, if I had seen that picture at 21, 22, I wouldn't have even seen it, because I was so in my head about my own problems, the future. I wanted to be a famous actress. I wasn't. I was just a waitress, bartender, got fired all the time. I was just a nightmare. And now, because I lost everything, it's like heroin like took the veil off my eyes. And when the world was black and white, it's now color, as a direct result of being an addict. And now when I see something like a pygmy hippo, I'm like, look, oh my God, how cute. And I can actually, but like that beauty was always there. I just couldn't see it. And that's why I'm so grateful for my addiction for giving me that. And that's really like my primary message of hope. So yeah, all the things that you see now, my classes and working hard to get to the point where I own the studio, that's all a result of my addiction. The person I was at 20 couldn't have done any of this.
Amazing.
You know?
So inspiring. How did you do it?
So I showed up. How did I own the studio or get clean?
How'd you get clean?
Because they kind of happened together.
Yeah. Well, share both.
Okay. So I taught while using. So I got certified to teach in 2000. I turned 27 or I turned 28 during my certification. I think I turned 27, so it was in 2007. And I was using coke and drinking. But that was like kind of manageable for me at the time. I mean, sort of. So I got certified. So I've been teaching for a long time. And then as my addiction got worse, I wasn't able to maintain teaching. And so, like, I taught, you know, I would, like, do heroin and then teach a spin class, which is insane. Or I would, like, smoke meth and then, like, teach a bar class at some nice places. You know where I was.
Yeah, gnarly.
Yes, which was also very embarrassing. Walking in there, being like, oh my God, you know. So I already taught. I had that experience. But I kept using, and my using was getting worse. And I became homeless for the first time in 2012. Lost all my teaching jobs. And then that started years of getting clean in a program and getting a job that I would keep for maybe a month. Getting a teaching job that I would keep for a month. And then relapse, and then stay out for a few years and come back. So I was like doing this dance where I was kind of in rehab, but I was picking up gigs at the time. So in 2015, when I got clean for the last time, so it's kind of crazy. So I was in a sober living, I had relapsed, and I loved teaching so much that even when I was using, I would like get on people's phones or get on a computer. I didn't have a phone, but get on something and look at Craigslist and see who was hiring and think, either like sad, I, you know, because I really believed at one point that I was probably never going to teach again. And that was the hardest thing for me to stomach. Like above all other things, going to jail, disappointing my family, the thought that I might not ever teach again broke me. That was like the hardest thing for me to manage. I'm like getting emotional thinking about it. I hated it. And I had done this many times before. I had reached out to somebody and I had a great resume. I taught at the Beverly Hills Country Club in LA. I taught at some great studios, some renowned studios. So I had a resume and I would send it out while I was using, while I was like a homeless person, just to see. And people would often contact me and be like, sure, come in. And of course I never did. I didn't even have a car. But I saw a studio in December of 2014 hiring a bar instructor in Encinitas. And I did my thing where I was strung out on heroin, but I emailed this person anyways, and she wrote me back and set up an interview. And that turned out to be the previous owner of this studio.
Wow.
And I, of course, didn't make it because I was still actively using. But, and this is different, and I don't know why I did this. I actually canceled the audition, which I usually never did, but I don't know what came over me. I got on someone's phone. I texted the girl. She seemed really nice in the email.
Yeah.
I texted her and I said, I'm so sorry, I can't make it. And I made up some lie. But I actually did that, which I normally would have just no-showed. Yes. So I ended up, and I think you know this part of my story, a few weeks after that interaction, I ended up, this is the last place that I was, I lived in a doghouse in my connection, which is the drug dealer's backyard, for a few days. I was staying in a doghouse in his backyard. That's the last place that I was in January.
Unreal.
I know. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Well, it was like a shed where his dog stayed. I could, you could barely stand up in it.
Wow.
And he would padlock me in there at night.
Oh, my word.
I know.
And you're lucky to be alive.
I'm very lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky to be alive because actually, I think I've told you this part.
Yeah.
The second night that I was in there, it's okay that I share this, right? Okay. The second night that I was in there at like 2 a.m, he unlocked the door and let someone in with me.
A man.
And locked the door. And we were alone in there for a few hours and he was kind of trying to like sit with me on the bed. There was like a futon mattress on the floor. And I was doing a crossword puzzle.
Of all things.
Smoking meth in the middle of the night in this shed in Oceanside. And he let the guy in. And I kind of was, I was super dismissive of the guy. And after a few hours, my buddy came, let him back out. And looking back, obviously we were alone in the backyard in this bad neighborhood. That guy could have done absolutely anything. And that's just one of many harrowing experiences.
Right.
But so that's the last place that I was. And I called, I had a friend that helped me off and on over the years. He's a Marine. And he was back from Afghanistan. He was back from an overseas stay. And I called him. He actually came and picked me up. He drove out from Palm Desert. He happened to be back in California. Brought me out to his place. I kicked heroin for the last time out at his house with no medication or anything, just like on his couch.
Wow.
And there was no reason to believe that this time was going to be any different than any other time. There was no reason to believe that. And I was out there, so I was homeless. I had no idea where I was going to live when I came back. And there was, there's one guy, there's one sober living up in Vista that the guy would work with me. And long story short, he worked with me. I came back. He let me stay on the couch in a sober living because he didn't believe I was going to stay clean because I never did. And I had a reputation for that around town. I'd move into your sober living and then just relapse. And everybody knew that.
Wow.
So he was like, you don't officially live here, but you can stay on the couch for like a couple $100 for a few weeks. And I'm going to see if you can actually get your act together. So he let me do that. And I thought, oh, what about that one girl that I reached out to? I wonder if she would see me again.
Yeah.
So I emailed her back and said, hey, remember me? I was supposed to meet with you a few weeks ago. I'm available again. And I don't know why. And so much of this feels so faded. She wrote me back and said, sure. And knowing her now, I can see why she was like, sure. You
know, yeah.
Didn't give it a whole lot of thought.
Right.
Let me come back. So with like, I don't know, 10 days off of heroin, I took a bus down here to the studio where Alia and I are recording right now, auditioned, taught Sven, taught, I had an old iPod. I didn't know what Spotify was. I'd never heard of it. Taught a couple songs, taught some bar, and they hired me. And they started, that was the first ride to the bar, we called it.
Yeah.
Cycle Sven, or Sven Bar. Started the next week. So I started here with 19 days clean off of heroin. And in fact, between Spin and Bar, I ran to the bath and puked my guts up because I was still dog sick. Came back in.
Oh my
And there was
gosh.
Like 15 clients here. I mean, nobody knew I was sick.
Right.
Taught Spin, took the bus home. It was like 3 hours each way to teach here from Vista.
Ugh.
And the classes were popular immediately. And I think that that was a lot of divine, you know, it just hit. It just hit. And it was the right time. And my job is very much what helped me stay clean and my feeling proud here. It went well right away.
Yeah.
And I started to slowly learn. Like, I didn't know what Instagram was. Mm-hmm. And the owners here recommended that I get on Instagram mm-hmm. and start promoting myself and my classes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm involved in the 12-step community, too. Uh-huh. So that's that. I mean, that's the primary way, in my opinion, that you can get and successfully stay clean and sober.
Yep.
So I'm involved in Heroin Anonymous, mm-hmm. mainly, mm-hmm. and Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. So I have a sponsor. I go to meetings. And so I would be reticent if I didn't address that. If anybody's listening and you're like trying to get into recovery, yes. just simply having a job that you're proud of isn't going to cut it. I also went daily to meetings. I'm fully abstinent from all mood and mind altering substances and have been for 5.5 years. And then once I was here over time, my presence grew at the studio.
Yeah.
And I became, I guess, what you would call like a lead instructor in terms of training you guys and just took on more responsibility. And then it was another bit of luck, I guess. The previous owners decided that they wanted to get out. They mm-hmm. wanted to get out quickly. Mm-hmm. And it made sense for... I just got married to somebody that I met in recovery. Mm. And it made sense for us to... And we were in a position to be able to step up and take over the studio. So that's how all of that came to be.
Yeah.
So from 19 days clean, showing up here on a bus.
Wow.
After 7 months, a client here gave me a car. Oh. That was actually how I got a car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Client gave me a car, not knowing I was in recovery. She didn't even know. I hadn't told anybody yet. And we were wow. right back here in this room. Like, the best moments of my life have happened in this space. That's yeah. also what keeps me going during quarantine. Because
yeah.
I'm like, I can't lose it. It's all been so faded. It's been like a miracle.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So.
And do you feel divinely blessed or guided?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Guided... I think I'm not always listening
okay.
because I'm in fear a lot. And that's one of the main things I try to, that I struggle with personally, mm-hmm. is getting out of fear mm-hmm. and into faith. Mm-hmm. And, but looking back at these things
yeah.
reminds me of that. Yeah. Because obviously things have been, I mean, every little thing that happened here was a miracle. I mean, like I said, in 7 months. So I had saved up after 6 months of just saving and saving and saving. I had about $1,000. And I went to a used car lot and... I wasn't even sort of able to get a car for $1,000, you know, no way. And it had taken me 6 months of riding the bus. And it limits you where you can work, too, when you can only get to places on the bus line.
Truly.
So it's like this cycle where I need to make more money, but I can only get to a few places.
Yeah.
But I need more money to get to more places, but I need to get to more places to get more money. And this is like the cycle of trying to put your life back together, and it's really, really challenging.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my God, like I can do the math on this. I can't do this for another 6 months before I have another $1,000. And I was so close to using again. And I remember calling my dad from a gas station, and I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore, you know? And I remember he said, my dad is kind of always who I call, but it was like, I can hear in your voice that, you know, you're tired. I can hear it. And I just need you to go like a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And literally a few weeks later, I was back here in the locker area. And a woman that was a client here said, she was like, do you want extra job? My husband needs some accounting work. And I said, well, I would like to, but I don't have a car right now. So, you know, I probably can't get there. And I remember she said, well, why don't you have a car?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so embarrassed and I was so ashamed about being 34, 35 and not having a car. Why yeah. would you not have a car, you
right.
know? But I had a standard excuse I gave everybody.
Mm.
I said, well, I had one, but it broke down and the repairs are really, really expensive. And so I'm just sort of like between amounts of money to be able to fix it. I said something like that.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I have a car you can have.
Oh, unreal.
And I was like, well, I didn't even understand what she was saying.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't have that much money. I have like $1,000. I mean, I don't know what kind of car it is. And she was like, oh, you can have it.
You can have a car.
You can have it.
Amazing.
And I just sat there. I can see her in my mind
yeah.
still. And she said, we were going to give it to a family member, but something was going on with the family member and they weren't able to like get it together. And she was like, and it was her mother-in-law's who had just recently been diagnosed with dementia. She couldn't drive it, but it was in the driveway. She kept trying to drive it.
Oh.
So they needed to get rid of it like immediately.
Oh.
And she was like, you can have it. You can have this car.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't even tell anybody because I was so like, this can't be real.
Shut.
And a few days later, I was teaching a class here. And I walked out afterwards and the desk girl said, you know, Michelle left these keys for you. And I took the keys and the car was just sitting in the parking lot. And she had just given me a car. She'd given me an older Nissan Maxima.
Amazing.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I know.
Life-changing moments.
I know. But what I learned from that is the karmic return on a life lived in purpose
mm-hmm.
is there, mm-hmm. is true. It can, you know, it does happen.
Yeah.
And I try to remember that now also, because that was just around the corner for me and I didn't know. Right. And so while we're sitting here talking, I think, well, what might be right around the corner?
Oh, that's
we don't even
so
know.
Powerful.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when I'm struggling, and that's kind of what I mean. That's like my message with like addiction and recovery. It's those moments that get me through the current hard moments. And that's what I think happens for everybody. You know what I mean?
To recognize that what you're struggling with is temporary and
yes.
that you don't know what the next day will
and
bring
know.
And
right.
the next opportunity that may be right around the corner.
Right, exactly. There's a Maya Angelou quote that I love. What a beautiful day. I've never seen this one before.
Oh.
And I love that. And I used to think it sounded all like Pollyanna.
Uh-huh.
And now I see it differently because you truly don't know day to day what might happen.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt could listen to your podcast and make it a TV show. You don't know.
From your lips to God's ears.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Absolutely.
You know? So I that sounds a lot more optimistic than I feel day to day, to be honest. You know, mm-hmm. like, I have my moments.
Yeah, we all do.
But I try to intellectually hold on. All these values I'm expressing, I do believe.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of pulling them into my body.
Yeah. And in the moment, accessing
yes.
those
And in
tools.
The moment, accessing those tools. Right. Yeah, which I think is, you know, especially right now, really hard to do. But
so you started a podcast.
Yes, I did.
I'm so proud of
Thank
you.
Thank you. I started it because you, so Alia, if you're listening to this, Alia, I don't know how you knew this, but okay, so I've wanted to start a podcast for years. Alia mentions that she wants to start one. 3 weeks later, it's published on Spotify and, you know, Anchor and everywhere else.
Yeah.
And did it so quickly. It just blew my mind. And then I kept saying to her, I want to do it. I don't know, months went by.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally she texted me and told me.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm coming in Monday.
Yep.
I'm coming in 30 minutes early. Have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
We're downloading Anchor.
Yep.
And you're just going to get started.
And you did.
And I did. And I would not have done it if you hadn't made me. But yeah, so I have a podcast also. It's called Chasing Heroin. Heroin with an E, like female hero.
Uh-huh.
And
it's on this day.
On this day. Yes.
So
Chasing
what does
heroin
that
on this
mean?
Day. So what this means is, so for example, I had a guest on yesterday, Tommy,
mm-hmm.
and in September of 2013, he was driving down the 78 freeway, died at the wheel of his car.
No.
Overdosed and died.
What?
Drove off the ramp. I've known this guy for years. He's a good friend of mine. Drove off the ramp, dead. A guy happened to be driving by, saw him crashed, called the paramedics, got him revived, and in fact, and this is the craziest part of the story, 2 days later, he was back at work, and somebody brought something in to return. He works at a hardware store, and he went away and came back, and the guy said, are you all right? How long were you in the hospital? And my friend had been in jail and gotten out because he got a DUI and everything, and it was the guy that had pulled over for him.
What?
2 days later, happened to be in his store returning something. And was like, I can't believe I'm standing here talking to you. I thought you were just a dead kid on the side of the road. Like, I left that thinking, I can't believe that poor kid just overdosed.
Oh,
isn't that insane?
Chills.
I know.
That's
isn't
insane.
That crazy? And so that was back in 2013. So yesterday, so we're in September 2020. He mm-hmm. came on. So the premise of the podcast is we talk about where we were mm-hmm. on a day, where we are now, mm. so that you can see, you can die behind the wheel and wreck your car and go to jail for felony possession and DUI endangerment.
Wow.
Get out, sit with me in my studio, tell the story, and then most importantly, what did you learn from that incident?
Right.
Because so much of the shame coming out of those stories mm-hmm. stops you from moving forward. So for example, he learned three important things. One, an extreme connection to a higher power.
Wow.
He couldn't believe he lived. And absolutely. that guy happened to drive by at the exact right time and then showed up 2 days later.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was just like a guardian angel affirming in so many different angles. And I thought about this yesterday, too. I wonder what was happening in that guy's life that he needed to see Tommy 2 days later.
Ooh.
Right? Like, he did never have to see him again.
Chills.
But something is going on that we will never know in that guy's life that he needed to see the kid he rescued.
Yes.
You know, I don't know why. Tommy didn't ask. But I'm like, maybe he had a kid using, maybe he will have someone that uses later. Maybe that guy was struggling, you know, who knows? But I think that's, you know, that, so he came out with a stronger belief in God, a connection to his higher power. A lot of people reached out to him at that time that he had lost contact with, family members that were
wow.
disappointed in him after he overdosed.
Oh my
So word. He felt connected again
mm-hmm.
to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been under the belief, and this is common, that he was like above overdose. Mm. I felt this way too. Mm. You never think you're going to be the one.
Right.
So he came out of that with some positives that he uses now, and they keep him clean now. You know,
and
I'm not
clean.
Above overdose. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. He didn't actually, and this is the other reason why I have people on all this, he didn't actually get and stay clean and sober that time, but he is now. And sometimes it takes a few times, which is also why I have people on the podcast to talk about that, because every time you're gathering more information, and people that relapse just feel like failures. Mm. And I need people to know, I relapsed all the time. Mm. I could only get, in 15 years of using, I got 94 days once.
Wow.
Until now, at which point I have 6 years.
Wow.
So the premise of the podcast is on this day. We talk about where we were. So like my launch episode was in August. Mm-hmm. In August of 2013, I was arrested for strong arm robbery. I was going to go to prison. They were going to give me a strike. And now I own the studio. I'm hosting. You're sitting here filming yours. So I just like to share how low you can be and how far back you can come. So that's the idea behind the podcast.
Okay, pause for a second with me. I need to take a breath. Will you join me? Start by exhaling all the air from your lungs. Good. Breathe in. Sealed lips or open mouth, exhale. That's better. Before we continue, just a reminder that Energy Bits are amazing superfood algae tablets that give you energy and are very detoxifying. Plant-based protein and vital nutrients in every bit. Use code ALIYAYOGA for 20% off all of your bits at www.energybits.com.
I have listened to your podcast. It's not only educational and inspiring, but it's also, there are parts of it that blow my mind.
Right.
And I can't relate to the addict aspect.
Sure.
I've not been addicted to substances, but I can relate to the addictive mentality of negative thoughts or self-doubt.
Right. Yes. And that's one of the things that I talk about too. Anything that immobilizes you is something that can be addressed through, you don't necessarily have to do the exact 12 steps, but the 12 steps are a design for living.
Yeah.
And they're a design to move forward. They can release you from anything.
Right.
Scrolling too much on Instagram, negative thoughts. You know, anything that you know is immobilizing you in your life can be, I think, is relatable when you listen. So that's good to know that you feel that way too. That's great.
I do. And when I listen to it, I'm inspired because you, at various points in your journey, could have perished.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did overdose also.
I don't know that story.
Oh, you don't? I overdosed. This is just class act all the way around. I overdosed in a men's room at Angelo's in Oceanside, the one on Coast
Highway.
What? That exact bathroom. I died in that men's bathroom under a urinal.
So you believe in God?
I do.
Can you talk about
that? How do you
that?
Not?
Right.
You know.
After what you've been through.
Yeah.
And do you...
Although I kind of think, how do you not anyway? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see, I joke about this with Skylar. Is this okay to get into?
Yeah,
okay.
Your husband.
Right. But like the God stuff? Is
yeah.
That, okay. So I joke about this with Skylar sometimes. There are so many cool things in nature, like that pygmy hippo.
Uh-huh.
I think that when God was designing the world.
Yes.
There had to have been times, or there's that cool rainforest, that frog in the rainforest that changes colors. It's like psychedelic.
Right.
He had to have thought sometimes, and I use the pronoun he, but I don't necessarily assign gender, but it's easier.
Yep.
He had to have thought sometimes, oh, I'm going to give it away. There has to be a God. This is too cool.
Yeah.
People are going to know.
Yeah.
You know, there won't be any faith left. This is too cool what
I'm
doing.
It's too obvious.
It's too obvious that there's a God. But no. Plenty of people are like, nah, I don't think so.
Wow.
And I'm like, how can you not look at the world and marvel and think, obviously there's a God. Look at this, you know, look at this amazing, wonderful world we live in.
Yes.
But, you know, so yes, I do believe in God. And my path through addiction strengthened my belief.
Amazing. Janine, I'm inspired by you. You've taught me so much about life and also about teaching indoor cycling and spin.
Thank you.
You've been a mentor, you're a friend, you're someone I'm really proud to know and proud of what you've accomplished and overcome to get to where you are today.
Thank you.
Your podcast is great.
Thank you.
You're great.
Thanks.
So how do people reach out and find you and be in touch?
So people reach out and find me through my Instagram is probably the best way to do it. So I've got three Instagrams. At Janine Coulter is my personal Instagram. These are all public. The studio Instagram, Studio Cybrid, is probably the most interesting Instagram, I think. It's one I spend the most time on. I put videos up all the time, fun little TikToks. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing I found in quarantine is making TikToks. I'm 40. And Chasing Heroin has an Instagram that I'm building. But Chasing Heroin, again, with an E.
Yeah.
Those would be the best ways to connect with me.
Awesome. And then StudioCybrid.com.
StudioCybrid.com, yes, is the studio website.
There's on-demand live virtual classes,
yep.
Also pre-recorded classes.
Yep.
And next week, so mid and September, you'll be having people come in for classes again.
Yes. So basically, whatever your comfort level is, thank you for bringing this up. Whatever your comfort level is, we've got you covered. If you would rather just stay at home completely right now, we have live Zoom classes daily. Alia's mm-hmm. about to teach one.
Yep.
And on-demand classes. If you are comfortable working out outside,
mm-hmm.
we have classes outside every day.
Awesome.
And if you are over this and you want to come back inside and put your heart rate monitor on and do raises and be in the air conditioning and the loud music and the lights, starting next week, limited capacity classes indoors. So again, depending on when you're listening to this,
yep.
end of September, we'll be back inside.
Great. I'll put links in the show notes for easy navigation. I love hearing more about your story every time we
Thank
get
so
to
much.
Spend some time together.
Thank
I learn
you.
More about you.
Thank you.
And I know you've already articulated something you're grateful for is your history and
yeah.
and your past as being an addict and now recovering from that and owning this studio and everything that you've accomplished. So what's one other thing
what's
that you're grateful
thing?
For today?
My husband.
Aww.
I am so grateful for my husband. He's in recovery too, and he is amazing. In fact, right before we started this podcast, we had to bring, so four times we have unpacked that room, delivered it, brought it back. And actually more than that, that's just the big rentals.
Mm-hmm.
We've done tons of one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Like one person wants to give it up and come back.
Renting bikes.
Renting out bikes, yeah. And my amazing husband has... He's the brawn. My dad said that. My dad was like, well, I have no doubt in your brains and his brawn that you guys can get through this.
But you're both beautiful.
I don't know about that. He is.
We both are.
Thanks, Alia. Mm-hmm. I think he is definitely. He's like a little Ken doll.
He's,
my husband is so beautiful.
Shout out to you, Skylar.
I know,
we
yeah,
love you.
Yeah, we do love Skylar. So I'm very grateful for my husband and his family.
Mm-hmm.
My in-laws are amazing.
Oh.
Skylar's family and it, my in-laws are great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Alia.
Wow, what a story. One of my takeaways from the conversation you just heard was when Janine mentioned that you never know what's around the next corner. This optimistic attitude shows a quality that Janine possesses that I believe is so powerful, and that is having hope and faith for a better tomorrow despite whatever challenges you're facing today. It's a reminder to live less out of habit and more out of intent, because just before sunrise, there is a dark night. But just like the cycles of daytime and nighttime, nothing is permanent, and the only constant is change. If you can maintain an attitude of optimism that your greatest accomplishment or opportunity is just around the corner, then hope prevails and you'll likely reach the goal and overcome the challenge, because it is never too late to be who you might have been. Remember, courage isn't having the strength to go on. It is going on when you don't have the strength. I hope you enjoyed today's show, as I know many people struggle with addiction, and it's almost impossible to live without knowing of someone who has been addicted or is addicted to drugs and alcohol, as it's such a widespread and common situation in our society. But there's hope. It's possible to recover, and even though one may relapse 10 times, you never know. The next time you or someone you love tries to get sober could be the last time they use. And the key to unlocking the unlimited possibilities and opportunities for the rest of their lives. Being that it's the end of recovery month, I wanted to let anyone who is struggling know that there is help available. And if you need assistance, reach out. Whether you connect with me or Janine or a local AA, asking for help can be challenging, but it can also be life-changing or even life-saving. Addiction-related or not, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, or need support in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Get in touch via email, alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. If something stood out to you from today's episode, do me a huge favor and take a screenshot. Share it on your social media, tag @StudioCybrid, @AliaYoga, and @What's Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be sure to reshare. If I can ask another huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Help to spread the word about What's Wellness and leave a review in the iTunes podcast app so that I can bring back the warm words of the week and read your review on air. If you enjoy online yoga classes, home workouts, as well as guided meditations, find Alia Yoga on YouTube. And for more about what I offer, go to aliayoga.com. Lastly, if you live in the North County area, please come check us out at Studio Cybrid for spin and fitness classes. And thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness Today. I'll be back next Thursday with a brand new episode for you. Until next time, be well.